Well, dear ones, I hope you're not bothered by my bit of a ranting and raving here. I have no intention to rebuke you or to condemn you or to make you feel bad. No, I have no such thought. But I must tell you, I'm deeply burdened. Because what I'm speaking to a gigantic bottleneck in our midst. I don't mean just you. I mean in many places in the recovery. I cannot speak for others, but I would say in the U.S. in here we are, and. Given the environment that we're in as bad as the outward situation is in the country today, this is still a special place that this country, this nation that God has raised up for his own use. And particularly for his move in his economy in the last age that we're in today. And what can I say? I just have a burden within me that is not discharged, concern for all the saints and churches here. That we would really be the Lord's recovery, not just in revelation, you know, in truth, in all that, which I think more or less we all have. Otherwise, we won't be here. You won't even be in this meeting. But I am saying more in the area of our practice. Of the outworking. So I would like to start this second part of the sharing by saying that the import to say something to all of us again about the utter importance of practice. So when we talk about practice, we would think about at least, we should think about at least a couple of places. There's actually more, but Paul, where he emphasized this matter of practice. In other words, not just to understand, not just to see the light, not just to nod your head, not just to be impressed, but to do something based on what you have seen and believed and received. So in Philippians 4, first it talks about there's six virtues there. You know, there's a marvelous, marvelous speaking of Paul concerning the excellent virtues of Christ in a believer's living, you know. So he was talking about that. Whatever is true, whatever is dignified, whatever is righteous, whatever is pure and lovely and so on, okay? If any virtue, if any praise, take account of these things, all right? Take account simply means to what? To think about these, think about these things, to consider these things, and so on. Then he followed with this word, the things which you have also learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things. Not only should the believers believe and consider or take account of the things that Paul told them or taught them, but that they should what? They should practice these things the things that they have learned from Paul, the things they received, the things they heard from Paul, and even the things they have seen in the apostle. You see, the pattern is so important in practice. Today, what we need is actually not more teaching. Today, we need more patterns. So the saints have some pattern to follow in their practice. That's what we're short of. Okay, but the point here is practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul was burdened for the Philippians not only to agree with him, it's not good enough, or to say amen to what he passed on to them or what he instructed them. Paul said, go do them. Practice them. You see, this is the bottleneck. This is the bottleneck. You know, we have, look at our library, okay? It is, look at the books in your bookshelf. Look at, okay, we are just to the brim and over many times with truths, riches, spiritual revelation, and the best teaching, the highest and the deepest. What is the shortage? It's not even our knowledge of those things, but the practical outworking, the practice of these things. That is the challenge. That's the bottleneck. And if we don't get through this bottleneck, saints, we will be a good recovery in knowledge, in doctrine. Yes, we won't give up those things, all right? We've seen them. We'll be faithful to them. But we will be a recovery that is only strong in the knowledge, but not in the outworking, not in the practice, not in the living out. So Paul is not just saying what is lovely, what is good, what is righteous, what is pure, think about them. No, he wants the Philippians to live those things out. And not just amen, agree, but you live it out. Then Paul would be happy. That's the point. Now, the other place, of course, is in Timothy, Paul's training this young brother, this young co-worker of his, and especially in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, that he told them he charged Timothy to teach these things. Firstly, you know, he should teach the things that Paul taught him. Don't let anyone despise your youth, right? He said, but be a pattern again to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, faith, etc. Okay? And then don't neglect the gift that is in you, you know, teach these things. Then in verse 15, he comes to this. He said what? Practice these things. Be in them, that your progress may be manifest to all. Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You see, so Paul's instruction, perfecting of Timothy, is very balanced. Number one, you teach these things. You be faithful to teach these things, all right? Remind the brothers of these things. Teach the faithful men about these things. So that's one side. The other side is you yourself practice. You yourself be in them. You yourself make manifested progress. You take heed to yourself. You do these things. You know, this word, be in them. Be in them. The footnote says what? Footnote says be in them means to be immersed in them. To be immersed in them. So just to agree with what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is the most half. Today, the Brand sisters in the recovery are all so one with the ministry and so agreeable with the ministry and even so hungry and thirsty in a good way for the ministry. That's, in a sense, not the great need there. The great need is the lack of practice, the lack of outworking, the lack of doing. So you have these verses. Then you have the Lord's word, right? Where is that in? Is it Matthew? Matthew chapter 7. Let me take a look. Yeah. You know that parable the Lord spoke about. Everyone there who hears these words, the Lord's words, and does them. Okay? Not just hear, but the do it. Shall be likened to a prudent man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended and the rivers came and the winds blew. All kinds of tests will come. And they beat against the house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. So there could be a discrepancy. There could be just having one and not the other. You can hear but not do. That is a possibility. Shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the rivers came, and the winds blew, and they dashed against that house, and it fell, and the fall was great. The fall was great. You know, before, when I remember this parable, I always think about it. That is just the word, you know. The building of this house is just have everything founded, grounded on the word, which is true, which is right. But the emphasis here, if you read carefully, is not just the word. The truth, so to speak. It is hearing and doing versus hearing and not doing. You see, there's a difference there. So if you hear, you really heard, but you don't do, you don't practice. When the tests come, you may fall. You may be taken out. Because that what you heard is not yours yet. It's here. You got it. It's a vision. It's a revelation. But it's not you. It's not yours. But a person who built a house on a rock is one who would do these things so that the word is worked out by them. The word, that word becomes them. Or that word becomes not just in the mind, in the head, in understanding, but that word becomes their experience. It becomes their constitution. It becomes their life. Then that becomes solid. And that can withstand test. I don't trust myself or others that you can say a lot. Oh, you can repeat the message. You can give a good word. I rather like to see, are you living these things? Are you doing these things? Is this your testimony? Brothers and sisters, we all need to take a look at ourselves and consider this word of Jesus. It's a very important word of Jesus. Now, needless to say, you have James's word. Now, I know we all kind of look down on James. He's kind of gray. He's not fully out of the Old Testament. I agree with you, and that's true. But it is still in the Bible. And he talks about here, we should receive with meekness the implanted word, which is, you know, able to save your souls. So this is the living words of life that we receive. Then he says this, and become doers of the word and not hearers only, who delude themselves. This is a very strong word. You can hear and hear and hear and agree, but you could be deluded because you are merely a hearer and not a doer. What you hear is not really constituted in you. You can even delude yourselves to think you got it. Yes, you got it, but kind of here. You got it here. But you didn't get it in your life, in your living. This, brothers and sisters, is our great need. I like to say this word to the working brothers and sisters in Northern Cal. I'll tell you, this, if anything, is a charge. I would give you this charge, not just to know more, but if I may say so, to do more in a proper way. Let there among us not just be inspiration, but action. Not just hearing, but doing. Not just words, but patterns. The recovery is not a teaching, a body of teaching. It is. But the recovery is not just a body of teaching. The recovery is a testimony. It's a manifest testimony. It's the living of godliness, the mystery of godliness lived out. That's the testimony. And that's the recovery today. What we sorely need in the recovery today is the working out of what we know already. And what we are talking about here concerning the priesthood of the gospel is one of the main things for us to work out today. How about you labor? I labor. You labor in your church. I labor in my church. Wherever the Lord has placed us and set us, let us be faithful. The Lord is not asking you and I to be an evangelist, to be the next Billy Graham, to save thousands of people. I think this person who said those words, this young man, he is not looking for thousands. If he could just have a few, he won't be empty-handed. And if every saint would have a few in their hands, cumulatively, collectively, there would be thousands. The Lord is not asking you for the impossible. Be faithful in a few things. This was his charge, was his request, the Lord's, the Master's requirement. Brothers and sisters, you can do it. I can do it. But let's do it. All right? Some of you say, I'm still not vital. Well, the question is, when will you be fully vital? Let me tell you, it won't happen. Many times you are not vital, you go and save someone, you right away got vital. You don't feel so living, you go and shepherd someone, you will come away living. So it's not sitting here to be vital, then you go do something. No, take action. Francis says, go do something. That will vitalize you. Some of you say, I don't know how to do it. Well, I mentioned this early this morning. Well, you just go do it. Mothers, sisters, before you were married, or after you married, you don't know how to have a baby. You know how to raise a child. You have no certificate. What happened? This most toughest job in human society is to raise a child. You go do it. You do it. Then you get help. You learn from this and you learn from that. And you make mistakes. And then you become a good mother. Often the first child is a bit of a guinea pig. Huh? I understand that. But you learn. You learn. You learn by doing. Sure, you need a few tips. You need a few, you know, advice from your mom and all of that. But in the end, it's the doing that teaches you. Some of you say, I'm afraid I will fail. What if I do something and it does not work? Well, this is the fear of anything, doing anything. My two grandsons, just this month, they can ride their own bikes without training wheels. Oh my, they are having the time of their life going round and round in this, you know, cul-de-sac here. It was just last month, they were like falling down and they couldn't do, they hurt themselves. And they don't want to do it again because it hurts, scary. But the parents don't care. Do it. You fall, you get up, keep doing it. Eventually, somewhere they overcame that fear, am I right, of hurt or failure, and now they do it. I tell you, fear of failure is very human, but don't give in to that fear. Don't give in, just don't give in to that fear, because it will paralyze you. It will render you useless. Do something, go do something, and you will master it. You become better. Our mind plays tricks on you. You cannot do this. You cannot save anyone. No one will believe in you. No, no. You'll be surprised how many people you can save. And you can shepherd. And you can mother and father. You'll be surprised. More than probably me. But if you don't do it, you don't try it, you don't keep doing it, you said, it just doesn't happen with me, which is a lie, a big fat lie. Saints, do it, all right? Just do it. Then you say, oh, Northern California is a terrible place for the gospel. It's the wrong place. I think I will move to Poland. Or maybe we need a war here or something. Maybe when a war hits, then we will preach the gospel. Well, let me tell you, the war has already started in the U.S. Just look out the windows. It's war. Needy people, they're not just in Ukraine. They're all over the streets here, campuses, communities, people in nice homes, behind beautiful gates, with broken hearts, living a depressed life, no meaning. Look, brothers and sisters, no, no, no. We are in the best place. Wherever the Lord places us, it's a part of the earth. Then you say, oh, our church is not ready. Well, my question is, when will it be ready? It's been years now, decades. When will it be ready? Well, you be ready. You just go do it. You don't need to wait. You don't need authorization. It starts always from the center to the circumference. It always starts with a few. Even great things, in human history starts with a few. But you need the burden, and you need that strength of mind. You need the steadfastness. In time, the Lord will fulfill his own promise. It's not even you. It's our cooperation with the Lord. Okay, let me just read quickly. Huh? I have 10 minutes. In order to serve as a New Testament, this is Romans 4. In order to serve as a New Testament priest of the gospel, we need to enter into the following crucial matters. These are nothing new to you, nothing new to me. But again, I emphasize, how much are we doing this? A, we need to enter into the living of the priests of the gospel of God. First, we need to live like priests, okay? We need to live as priests. One, the living of a priest of the gospel of God is one of being revived every morning, all right? We all know this. So let's get revived. Let's just get revived every morning. I don't have the time. Be with the Lord. Spend some time with the Lord. Touch him. Breathe in him. Eat his word. Then number two, the living of a priest of the gospel of God is one of overcoming every day. So just practice an overcoming daily life. That doesn't mean you will never fail. That doesn't mean you will never fall. That doesn't mean you will not never be tempted. No. That doesn't mean you will never be weak. These things happen. But before the Lord, our intention for ourselves is to overcome every day, to live an overcoming life by his life, by the Lord's life. So you see, if you're not revived, you can never overcome. So we have this saying, revived every morning, and overcome every day. Overcoming life is a typical, normal Christian life, not a super Christian life. A normal Christian life, obeying the Spirit, setting our mind on the Spirit, and following the Lord. Number three, the living of a priest of the gospel of God is one of being filled with the Spirit every moment. I think I cover all of this in the last quarter, on the matter of vitalization. So we need to unceasingly pray. We need to periodically repent and confess our sins and deal with so many things that are not well-pleasing to the Lord. And if we do and when we do, the Spirit will fill us to deal with our conscience and all these things. This is our living. Number four, the living of a priest of the gospel of God is one of speaking Christ everywhere. Now, this is something that we all need to pick up, to say something of Christ. And I forgot to bring it. I was going to bring you the stack of BFA tracts. Have you seen them, saints? Have you seen them? They are marvelous. They're written out for you already. You just need to hand this out. You just need to refer people to it. You just need to leave it on the table for your waiter or waitress. Am I right? You just need to give it to the grocery clerk. That's all you need to do. And that work will work marvelously. They're wonderful. Just two-pager, so succinct, so on point. You can just read it to someone. Someone who's open, let me read this to you. Let's read this together to a friend, to a colleague you don't know. You cannot speak, but let the paper speak for you. You just say amen to that. Anyone can do that. Brother Lee told us, just go there and read a footnote to somebody. Yeah. The recovery version footnote. Just do that. You don't know, the word will work. B, as the priest, we should be built up together to be a priesthood. So the first thing is we need to be built up, right? As priests into a priestly body. Now here, look at this, the word in the ministry, two or three priests. It's quite interesting. Two or three priests must be built up together as a priesthood. Merely to go out to preach the gospel by ourselves is not adequate. We must be built together with others. So brothers and sisters, these are the helpful steps. Beside you yourself being burdened for people, you yourself pray, which is very important. Find a companion, find a partner or two. So there's two or three. It could be your spouse. It could be another brother or sister. It could, I don't know. The Lord will bring someone. The Lord will have someone. But we all need one or two in the church to be built up with, to be co-priests, to function together. I have said so much about twos and threes, right? I quote Ecclesiastes, two is better than one. A threefold cord is not easily broken. On and on. I mean, brothers, again, the doing is what is missing, what is lacking. Find a gospel partner. Find a pursuing, praying companion. Just find someone, all right? Don't wait. We can review all of our, we need to fellowship with our companion through desperate prayers for the Lord's blessing. And with the companion, of course, you pray together, you support one another, you look out for one another. But you are companion for a reason, for a purpose. That is to bring forth fruit, to bring in materials for God's building, to reach out to people with the gospel, right? To care for and shepherd people. That's why you're in this small companion group. So fellowship and pray is what you do with the goal, very explicitly, very definitely, very intentionally, to care for people and to gain them for the Lord and his church. Here it says, for the Lord's blessing. Two, we can review all of our acquaintances, relatives, neighbors, friends, schoolmates, and colleagues, and make a list of them. You know, just make a list. You'll be surprised how many people the Lord may burden you. That doesn't mean you take care of everyone all at once, but you make a list first. And these words, these names will be written not only on a piece of paper, but in your heart. The Lord will then lead you, and the Lord will raise up environment. And through our petition and prayers, the Lord would even do something quite sovereign and miraculous in bringing them our way or raising up situations for us to give them the word of the gospel. But start there. Start there. This is a kind of prayer list, a prayer list that we all can come up with. And you can share this with your companion, and together you pray for them. Okay. We can pray over the name list and seek the Lord's leading concerning who should be the first for you to take care of. Look to the Lord, not everyone at once, but start with one. Start with two. And if this one is not open, you start with another one. This one is not ready, you start with another one. That's why you need a list. But also, besides the list, we should always keep ourselves open to the Lord for his leading, to visit people other than these acquaintances of ours. The Lord would raise up something. And or your companion and say, hey, let's go and visit this person. Let's go have tea or coffee with such and such. You have to be open to that. The Lord has his timing. As long as we are oriented this way, we are a burden for people. And this is important to us. We will make time to do this. Number five, when we may then visit, contact, and gain the gospel candidates by visiting them, by appointments continuously, inviting them to dinner. That is a wonderful way, regularly, every week, maybe even they come to your home for dinner. You know, students, am I right? College students, just friends, families that you're burdened for. Writing them continually concerning their salvation periodically. Mailing them gospel tracts. You see gospel tracts now, BFA? You can send e-tracts. You just push the button twice and they will get the tract. They will get it in an email. And spiritual booklets. They can download this. We have given a lot of webinars. You can go to bfa.org and find those webinars to explain to the saints all these gospel materials that they can use. Number six, we should pray concerning the spiritual welfare of certain definite ones for our whole life. You think something is not fast enough? Something takes a whole life, not everything, but sometimes. So this requires great patience and what? Perseverance. Brothers, it's perseverance that saves people, not gifts, not power. It's persistence. It's not giving up that warms people up, that calls people to turn. We should pray concerning, seven, whatever we may take, we should do it persistently with patience and endurance, right? Not expecting to have a quick reaping. If you can bring someone to the Lord in a year, it's wonderful. If you can get restore a saint in 2 years or 3 years, that is a great thing. If we would all do this in time, there shall be a harvest. Now I finish C and I'm done. I'll just read it. We need to be a lover of men. I mentioned the two bottleneck that we have. Number one is to do what we hear. Number two is to have a heart for people or have love for human beings. The men that God created, the sinners that are destined to hell, to perdition. The ones, people who are suffering around us. The love for them is very needed. One, every worker of the Lord must have not only a love for the brothers, the saints, but also a love for all men. Their hearts should be so broad that they can include and embrace all men. They should be able to embrace the whole human race into their bosom. Look around. Just look around. You don't need to be a missionary to the ends of the earth. I say the ends of the earth are at our doorstep. In the grocery store, in our local Starbucks, in the park in your neighborhood, those mothers. Two, I believe that not having the Father's loving and forgiving heart and not having the Savior's shepherding and seeking spirit is the reason for our barrenness. It's not know-how. It's not techniques. It's not gifts or power. It's a kind of heart of the Father that is loving and forgiving and is a kind of spirit that go and seek and shepherd the lost. And so there's a song that we didn't sing that at least maybe, David, you can mention the song, We Don't Have Time, for us to go back and sing. It's a song that probably most of us don't know, and that is 932. I chose it because it's under the section on preaching the gospel, love for souls. Love for souls. All right. Let me finish five and I'm done. Sorry, I'm over the time by 5 minutes. The priesthood is for God's building. The focus of our service is to save sinners and offer them to God. And the goal of our service is the building up of the body of Christ. I stop here. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Minoru. So our brother gave us a lot of burden, but also a lot of very practical points. So this morning we sang hymn 930, and I apologize. Our brother also wanted to sing hymn 932. So if we could sing this in our personal time with the Lord, maybe we can allow the Lord to touch us. Even our brother suggested that we sing these hymns until we have the burden. So this is something that we can practice. One other thing we can do, we can consider this word before the Lord and spend time with him, but we can also learn by doing. We may agree with this word and say amen to this word, but we can begin to put it into practice. All the points under Roman numeral B are very good points for our practice. We can hand out BFA tracts to the cashier or the waiter or the waitress. We can find a companion to pray together with. We can come up with a list of some lambs, maybe two or three who are under our care, and to pray for them. And if we have a heart, a mind to do this over the long term with perseverance, then we can learn by doing. As we do, we'll learn, and even we'll build up a kind of muscle memory to begin to do these things and form a habit in our daily living. So we all have this fear, but we can overcome this fear. And as we learn, we'll become more proficient at doing this. And it'll just become a part of our Christian life, our habit. This next weekend is the Memorial Day Conference, and we'll begin watching it together, all of NorCal, beginning on Friday evening. So please join us for that. It'll be over the entire weekend. Our next meeting for the Perfecting Fellowship will be June 11th. We have not yet confirmed our next in-person gathering, whether this will be an in-person gathering or not. But as soon as we know when the next in-person gathering is, we will let you all know. To receive that reminder and also more information regarding the future meetings and outlines, please sign up for the email distribution list if you haven't done so already. I believe Brother Dustin has put that into the chat. So if you don't yet receive the regular emails, for reminders and the outlines, please sign up for that list so you'll be kept up to date. If there are no more announcements, we can end the meeting here.